My name is Stacy. My husband and I have been married for 17 years. Through the years, I'll find myself feeling like things aren't where I want them to be in regards to maybe my husband didn't take out the trash the way I wanted him to do it, or put the dishes away the way I wanted him to do it. It's easy to get in a negative rut. What I've learned to do is every morning write 5 things that I'm thankful for that he does. And it completely changed my mindset and blessed both of us that it starts my day thankful for him.
You know, that's one thing. You know, we talk about the power of one thing. You made a decision to say, I don't really care how he gets the garbage out. I just want it out. I know changing what is important to us sometimes is not easy. We've called today's program Rookie Marriage. In other words, maybe during the first year or two of marriage, you learn some lessons. You learn some lessons by mistakes that were made that you adjusted to, maybe through counseling or through prayer together or what have you, that you've learned and made some changes. And this is an opportunity for you to have a ministry to another couple behind you that you've learned. We'd love to have you share that on our storyline today at 888-888-1717. As far as on-air live, today's program is a best of from our Intentional Living archives. So we have the callers already lined up for today, but I really encourage you to take a moment, call our storyline, tell us your story at 888-888-1717. What mistakes did you make early on in your marriage that you've learned from and made some changes to in your relationship? It'll make a difference. You know, the research shows that most marriages that end in divorce get really, in the first 7 years, find it tough to get into that eighth year. And they call it the 7-year itch, don't they? And that's because I think sometimes instead of learning from these first early years, we just harbor it, we hang on to it, we take the hurt, we personalize it, we don't learn from it, we're not willing to forgive and move on in our lives. And I've seen it happen. People who are unwilling to forgive, unwilling to grow, will stay stuck all their lives. And so this is a time to learn. What did you learn? What would you share with those coming up behind you? Love to hear your stories. Again, on our storyline at 888-888-1717, talking about newly married, young married, rookied married. What did you learn that you want to share with others?
I'm 24. My husband is 26. We got married 2.5 years ago. When my husband and I got married, we had over $130,000 in student loans, and I brought a little bit of credit card debt into the marriage as well. We made it a point from day one to always tithe. And it was the best decision that we've ever made. And all the time that we've been married and during the times that I was unemployed, God has always made a way for us to pay all of our bills. And we've even been blessed to the point now where we have extra money that we can do things with, that I can support things that I want to support. You know, we have some money left over to do fun things with. We're saving for our future together and investing. It's possible, even when it doesn't seem like it, and even at a young age, being 21, 22, it's possible to make things happen as long as you put God first and save that tithe, set it aside for Him, and give it to God. It can happen.
That's good. Hey, listen, we're glad to have you here. The doors are wide open. Come on in. This is a place of a community of like-minded men and women, young and old, who we just believe that God has made a difference in our life, and we want to be intentional. That doesn't mean perfect, but we want more out of life than, frankly, anything else that we're seeing around us. So let's find out some of the mistakes that are made that we can learn from. Let's go, Lauren, Georgia, in Georgia today. Welcome to the program, Lauren.
Hi, thank you.
What are some mistakes you made?
Well, I was 21 when my husband and I got married. We've been married for 4 years this summer.
Okay.
And the biggest thing, which we had been told about, but of course you kind of have to live and learn, but basically that we were just not finished products when we got married. That we were going to have to be present for each other when we made mistakes and work through them together. And just to learn through that process was a big learning deal.
And how has that been? I mean, you guys are better at it now, working through problems together?
Yes, it's at least not a shocker. it's like, okay, we've done this before. The Lord has helped us through it before, and He can continue to help us through it as new things come, because we're always learning.
Good for you. That's it. Life is learning. I'll tell you, every stage, you're never going to arrive at this thing, Lauren. It's a lifelong process. Right. I would ask, though, what's been your biggest surprise after 4 years of marriage, about marriage?
Oh, biggest surprise after 4 years. It's just a joy. I mean, we just love it. Even as difficult as it has been in some of our years together, it is just such a joy.
Fantastic.
And I'm so thankful.
Good for you. Lauren, attitude is everything, as they say. And I'm glad you're listening in Georgia today.
Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it. Let's go over to Texas. Muriel is on the line. Hi, Muriel.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm beautiful. I'm really blessed.
That's good. Well, so are we. Tell us, what are some things you've learned early in marriage? How long have you been married? Are you married now?
Yes, I'm married now. We actually had our church wedding last summer, July 20th.
Okay, so you're a newlywed, yeah.
Well, I'm newlywed in the books, but my husband and I, we have been at it for 4 years now. We did the church wedding, and then we did the court wedding, and then we decided to do the church wedding last year.
So what have you learned after these months together?
I've just, learned that, when you put God first in your marriage, that nothing is impossible, When my husband and I first started this whole commitment, we really did not put God first. We got pregnant before marriage. We have a 3-year-old son, and we did not make God the first in our marriage. We did not make God the first in our decisions. We just thought, we had everything together. Only to know that, without God, that we couldn't do it. We were so young, we were refusing to let go of our old ways. And, and we took it into the marriage, and bringing a kid into this world, we really didn't know, that was going to affect us some way or the other.
Yeah.
But, my husband and I decided to do the right thing. We got married at church. 3 months later, we both got baptized the same day. And, and just to see my husband actually praying for us every morning before he goes to work.
That's cool.
Even if I'm up or I'm not up, we just hold my hand and pray. And, and it's just those little things to see that we are both growing into the Word of God. And it's so beautiful, to see our son know that, before going to sleep, it's time to pray, and it's only 3. And it's just such a wonderful thing, and it's such a blessing. Mm. For all the young couples, that, no matter what, or no matter how much you have, or no matter how little you have, if God is not the center of your marriage, I'm sorry. I just don't see how it's going to work.
Fantastic. Go ahead, Muriel.
He has to be the center. He has to be the priority in everything. And I just thank God that, we learned that, and we know that, and we are trying every day to grow into the Word.
Fantastic. Listen, I'll tell you, Mary, let me jump in, because we got young couples listening today, and this young woman just spoke the truth to you. There's two sides to this kind of coin. One side is the reality of what she said. They wanted to do it their way. They were going to, they're going to be their own boss. I'm the boss of me type of thing. And if we want to live this way, we're going to live this way. It's all going to be okay. And then there's pain and hurt and grief. The other side of this coin is the good side, that God is a God of second chances and third chances. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. They're on the right path. They're choosing to follow God. That's a fantastic story, a great gift to that 3-year-old child of yours. And so God is a God of forgiveness, but I think the warning goes out. Hey, listen, as a young couple, do it God's way from the start. Figure out what pleases Christ and do it, Ephesians 5:10. Because when you do, that is, I think, what Muriel is telling us here, that is intentional living.
Hi, this is Debbie from Kansas. One thing that my husband and I did when we got married was we discussed what we would do and what we wouldn't do, and I told him that I didn't take out the trash, mow the lawn, or put up the Christmas tree lights. And so he does all that, and I promised him I'd never take the remote control out of his hand. God bless.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlson. The one intentional thing that I've noticed that is working for my marriage is I bought that book, The Power of a Praying Wife. My prayers have changed in the sense that I'm asking the Lord to change me, and I'm asking the Lord to profit my husband through my prayers and allow him to feel the effects of my prayers. Thank you so much.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. This is Jean from Mesa, Arizona. And my one thing that I'm doing and that is working really good is intentionally being nice to my husband and not nagging and being as pleasant a person as I can to live with. And I've really noticed a difference in him. Our marriage is not perfect, but we're getting there. So thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Intentional living works when you work it. That's what it is. It's not about good works getting you saved. Spiritually, God loves us. There's a lot of unintentional people who are going to be in heaven, frankly. But at some point, they were intentional enough to give their life to Christ. The problem is, there's going to be a lot of people who live all their 70 or 80 years or whatever on the earth. And many of them are going to be, well, I hate to say it, but wasted years or at least mediocre years. Because instead of living intentional, they had a life of unintentional living, which means jumping from one thing to another, never building that kind of direction or momentum that allows them to advance in what God has for them, or living a good intention life without tomorrow, you know, the idea of tomorrow, I'll get around to it, instead of today, figuring out what pleases Christ and do it. That's why we're here. That's what intentional living is all about.
If you and I want to live obediently to Christ, intentionally for Him, we want to know His will. I guess the message here is to get into His Word and read what it has to say about marriage, about work, about finances, about the decisions that you're trying to make. To understand God's will is to begin in His Word. And as you diligently search for Scripture and for His will, for whatever it is, the dilemma you're facing, the questions you're facing, the decisions you're facing, you're going to find that the Bible will spell out the divine principles that will apply to your circumstances so that you can apply them by obedience directly to your life. I think perhaps the consummate scripture on God's will comes from Romans 12:2. And for good reason. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
You know, that's an excerpt from one of the most important, in fact, maybe the single biggest important topic that you're going to face in your life from day to day is, what's God's will for me right now in this situation? The ministry of intentional living is all wrapped around this important mission of helping you experience your life the way God intended, finding His will. And that's, you know, some people say that can be difficult. I pray and I don't know what it means, and I seek Him and I don't seem to get an answer. And others of us just sort of chase our own emotions, our own habits, and it gets us into trouble. So the lesson this month, and that's an excerpt from it, will help you really distinguish and discern at maybe a brand new level in seeking what God's will is for your life, as it has to do with experiencing your life the way God intended. And this lesson is available on our website for you at theintentionallife.com. And I want to say a thank you to all of our members, you guys and you ladies and couples and singles, young and old, businesses really make it possible for us to do this every day and every month to make sure we get a brand new lesson out. So thank you for your financial support. Two things. One is, if you're seeking God's will today, can I encourage you to go and listen to that lesson? Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And on the other hand, if you're not supporting the ministry to make that kind of lesson available, can I ask you to come and join us in this mission together today? All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com and click on that little donate icon, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And when you press number 2, it should take you to our staff. We'd love to talk to you. Let us know where you're listening, what God's doing in your life. I'm sure they'd be happy to pray with you as well. That's why we're here as a ministry. We love you guys. Again, 888-888-1717. And thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Hey, thanks, Kurt, and welcome back to our Intentional Living Center today. And as we're talking about the mistakes that we make early on in our marriage, my wife, Don, and I, we've married a lot of years. So I was trying to think back to those early days. And then I realized, you know, some of the mistakes I really made back then, I still make because we're just human. I'm just human. And I think one of the mistakes that I have wrestled with over all these years of marriage is making false assumptions about what Donna is thinking or feeling. You know, I assume because I'm not feeling something about a situation or I am in a certain direction that she must be thinking or feeling the same way because obviously we're married, so we must be alike, right? Well, not so much and not so often. And so one of the things I'm learning even after many years of marriage is to be more mindful of asking, well, what do you think about that? What do you feel about that? Why? And realize that getting behind the eyes of Donna, understanding how she thinks and feels, or at least to the extent that I'm capable of doing that, will strengthen our relationship. So if you're new in your marriage, can I give you a heads up for something for a lifetime that'll be helpful? Get behind the eyes of your spouse, know what they're thinking and feeling, or at least ask so you can be mindful of where they are today. All right, let's get back to the calls. Greg's on the line in Texas. Hey, Greg, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Randy.
Appreciate your call. What is it you've learned? What are some mistakes you made early on that you've learned from?
You know, I think one of the major mistakes is neither one of us knew how long to be upset with each other. So one of the things we did is we came up with a 10-minute plan. We could be as mad as we wanted to at the other for 10 minutes, and then we had to get over it. It's now worked for us for 23 years.
Now, wait a minute. How do you do that? You have a timer or something?
If we need to.
So, but what happens at the end of 10 minutes and you're still mad?
Well, you know, get it out and get it over with. So, it's just worked really well. And, you know, if you're really going to get mad, you can get mad, you can let it out and tell each other what you're upset about, why, and any consequences. And you would hope that both of you could come to the point to where 10 minutes, it's over with, and it's just worked for us.
Cool. And so, when you're mad, though, do you have rules? I mean, so you limit. If you got to push it all into 10 minutes, you don't overdo it.
Well, you push it into 10 minutes, and you never don't go to church with the other one on Sunday mornings.
All right. Hey, listen, 10-minute rule. How long have you been working for you? How long have you been married? Did you say?
23 years.
All right. Well, There's something to be said for success, right? 23 years. He's beyond the rookie years for sure. Thanks, Greg. 10-minute rule. That makes it work. Give us a call. Tell us your story on our storyline. 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. God really just placed it in my heart to call today. The way that I'm being intentional is to follow my husband. I am getting married in 6 weeks, and after that, my husband and I will be relocated to the East Coast, and it's been my dad and myself my whole life. So leaving him is going to be very sad, and as difficult as it's going to be, I know that God is placing us on the East Coast for a reason, and I'm really excited to see what it's going to lead to us.
Hey, listen, life is always full of new experiences, and when we intentionally approach these, boy, some exciting things can happen. Today in marriage, hearing stories from those who are young, those who've been married for a while, trying to avoid rookie mistakes and certainly not letting them destroy your marriage. James on the line in Florida today. James, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Says here the rookie mistakes ended your marriage.
My wife had a miscarriage in January, and instead of being there to support her, I shut down myself. Mm. I couldn't handle the pain of it in my own way, let alone support her. And it ultimately led to her shutting down to me entirely to the point that she left. And we're currently going through a divorce. I know that there's always a chance for restoration with God at my side, but that's something that I'm praying for.
Yeah, sure,
many other people are as well.
But at a time when you need each other so much, it's just unfortunate that the path is being taken now that says we're going to separate from each other. This would be a time that the two of you, early in, I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but to know that the two of you could really learn through this, grow through this, and make this an opportunity to look back and say, was at that moment a pivotal thing happened in our marriage that really, you know, reconnected both of us?
I agree entirely. I continue to hold on. I continue to try to fight for my marriage. It's difficult. I mean, she has another boyfriend already.
Oh,
she's just trying to, I don't know, forget everything about me. Mm. And it's difficult, but I continue to hold on because, well, hope comes from the Lord for sure. And all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. Miracles are still being performed every day.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Thank you, James. We'll be adding you to our prayer list too.
Thank
okay.
You.
All right.
Thank you.
Which, by the way, I encourage you, James, and others. We have a brand new prayer community online. And this is an opportunity for you to post on the wall your prayer request. Others will be praying for you and being able to let you know they're praying for you, and you can pray for others. If you have a ministry, a heart, a compassion to pray for people, come check it out at theintentionallife.com and click on the prayer community there. Wayne is in Arizona. Hi there, Wayne.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Dr. Randy, I'm not so much, my wife and I aren't so much a rookie, but I pretty recently discovered a resource that I would highly recommend to all of the couples that have just got married.
Okay.
Had I got my hands on this book probably almost 22 years ago, that's how long my wife and I have been married, but The first thing that I would say would be to, as fast as you can develop a Christ-like demeanor, attitude, the better.
Right.
You know, the faster that you can get to that point would be the absolute perfect place to be. The resource is Discovering the Mind of a Woman. And in that book, it talks about how a woman, how God made a woman and how she's hardwired and actually how she's different from a man. And it gives a lot of examples in there. It's by, could I give the author or not?
Sure.
The author is Ken Nair. The ministry is Life Partners, and they're located right here in Phoenix. And the book was co-authored by Leslie H. Stobe. And it's a 1995 copyright. But again, it's Discovering the Mind of a Woman. The byline is the key to becoming a strong and irresistible husband.
Wow.
You know, and it's an I wish I had got my hands on this book 22 years ago. I wouldn't have made probably any of the mistakes that I've made. So it's an
excellent. Oh, you would have made a few of them, Wayne. We all made a few of them, no matter what book we read. That's just part of our human condition. But that's good.
Yeah.
I tell you, if we would spend more time learning, if we would spend more time considering that marriage does require some intellectual approach. We have to understand the differences between men and women. We have to learn. And then, like you say, attitude, which, by the way, there's four things that we teach at Intentional Living: our thinking, our emotions, our attitude, and then being filled with the Spirit. Attitude is very clear. We learn that in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul tells us clearly that we're to have an attitude of forgiveness and so on. And so it's a good reminder. I haven't read the book. I've heard of it. And appreciate you sharing your journey with us today, Wayne.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Randy.
All right, my friend. You keep listening as well. You know, as he was talking about reading a book and learning, and if he had, he wouldn't have made the same mistakes that he made 22 years ago. That's one of the passions. When we look at intentional living, I've been teaching the staff here that what we really are focusing on is helping people live out what we say we believe, what our worldview is. And one of the very first thing that we learn in Scripture is to have a new mind. It says in Ephesians 4:23 that we are to have our minds renewed. See, that's what Paul tells us. We're not to think with the futility of the thoughts of the world, but to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And that comes from an understanding of meditation on Scripture, reading Scripture, and from good resources that can make a difference. One of the passions of our life when we go out and do a conference is to focus on this whole thing of, I'm going to teach you some stuff that you can apply that can make a difference in your life. you know, life is more than just an emotional experience. We need experience, of course, but more than that, it's also learning to take what we believe, taking what the scripture teaches, and then in turn learning how to apply that experientially into our life. That is the message, really, of intentional living for your marriage today. All right, Wayne, thank you for your call, my friend.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I'd like to thank you for your show, Intentional Living. It has changed my life drastically.
And I just wanted to thank you so much for taking my call that day, because it made all the difference to me.
And if it wasn't for your program, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to lose it, I don't believe I'd still be married.
I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was. Be mad at you, a little on the hurt side too, but I'm not who I was. I was thinking maybe I should let you know that I am not the same, but I never did forget your name. Hello.
I just can't begin to tell you how your program, Intentional Living, has changed my life.
I think what we overwhelmed ever since I started to listen to your message, how my life has changed as well as my children. I thank you so much.
And I just praise God every day.
The thing I find most amazing, an amazing grace, is the chance to give it out. Maybe that's what love is all about. I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was.
Boy, when I hear those stories, two things happen. One is, I have to admit, I got to beat back that feeling of good job, Randy, because I know it's God working through this message that he really raised up. I just one voice in this message. But the second thing, and I think the more important thing, is the reason Stephen and the team play just a sample of so many comments that we receive is to remind two groups of people, those of you who are supporting the ministry, that you're making a difference. You're impacting someone because of your support. And secondly, to remind those of you who are struggling in your life today to know that by choosing to make a decision to be intentional in your walk with Christ can be transformational. Here's the diagnostic question from the ministry. Are you experiencing your life today as God intended? And if you can't answer that, then you got to ask yourself, what's going on in my life? That's why we're here. We want to encourage you to answer that question. As you do, to realize that, hey, my life is heading in the right direction. That's why intentional living is here. All right, with that, we got to wrap it up for today. And again, thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. And we'll see you next time.